The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
You're listening to Pure Rock Radio. Feed your addiction! Yeah!
So my name is Devin Doucette. I'm from the Toronto-based metal band Centuries of Decay, and you're listening to Radioactive Metal.
Welcome to Radioactive Metal. This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Corrine, and Aaron.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to a decay. No, not Donkey Kong, not Dead Kennedys, but a decay episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode 563, and I'm Snowy White.
And this is Corrine.
Hey, there's a sound for sore ears. Hey, girl, how's it going with you?
Actually, you almost slipped on that one. I'm good. I'm here, alive and well.
I brought
my popcorn for the shit show that we're about to have today, because it's about to get juicy.
well, there's some interesting stuff that kind of went on today and throughout the week and all that. And just I got stories to tell. So listen up real well. Pay attention this way to what I got to say.
Show, or not, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
We won't know anyways.
Okay, well, I'm just glad that you're here tonight, because I think the last time you joined me on here was the Maryland Death Festival post-game show.
Something like that.
I know.
And if people really listen to it, I don't know.
for sure got a lot of cool feedback about it. Lots of people tuned in. It was a really good time, but this particular episode is going to be one of our usual shows, all of our usual segments. I got some stories to share, and before we do anything, I want to talk about our sponsors first and foremost.
Yay!
Hello and horns up to the good folks at True Cavalt Coffee. Oh, yes, True Cavalt Coffee. TrveKvltCoffee.com. Just a fantastic. I hate the word product, but sometimes I got to use it. It's a fantastic
Snowy.
Product. Yes.
Snowy, you are going to put a little extra something-something with that advertisement, right?
I guess so. Why? What did you have in mind?
You didn't hear the news?
No. What's that?
They are expecting their fourth child.
Right.
Come on, we can sound a little bit more excited than that. Congratulations, True Cult. Woo!
Yeah.
Make America great again. Woo!
The family is literally growing. Yeah, that's fantastic. That's right. Congratulations. And now more than ever, we have to support True Cavalt Coffee, a fantastic product for metalheads, by metalheads, and a very metal product. I'm enjoying a kick-ass cup of it right now in my Judas Priest British Steel mug. Always enjoyable. TrueCavaltCoffee.com. Go and check it out as well. This episode of Radioactive Metal is sponsored by the Seance Metal Festival. Now, what the Seance Metal Fest is Kryn, you will recall in the past we have pushed, it was originally called Karlstock. Okay, and then last year the name got changed to Chadstock. Well, this day and age, this time around, they've kind of stepped up into the big time and they've kind of given it a kick-ass name with the Seance Metal Festival. And what the Seance is, it is the only outdoor metal festival in Manitoba, August 23rd to the 25th. There is some kick-ass touring bands and sign bands, including Outer Tomb, Sunless, Flashout, Wilt, Deathorous, and some wicked Canadian Winnipeg homegrown talent, including Widow's Peak, Endless Chaos, Anomalism, all sorts of really cool time. It is in the Winnipeg area, just on the outskirts of town. So you'll want to hit up the Facebooks, check out Seance Festival 2019, August 23rd and 25th. I am super excited about it. And one of the reasons I am super excited about it is in this year's lineup, they are featuring one of my favorite bands. Whether they are from Winnipeg or they're buddies of mine or not, I love Canadian grinders, Flash Out. So let's give a little taste of the upcoming Seance Metal Festival. While I have a little taste of my True Cavalt Coffee, let's go with a Flash Out tune. How about the title track from their latest 7-incher, Death Dealer?
Been very busy this week. Here's our metal fix.
Okay, you, so what you got?
I really don't have much of a metal fix because I haven't really done much of any fixing of metal. So the only thing that I want to bring up, unless you want to talk about it later, is what happened at a Behemoth show.
Yeah, I kind of got that penciled in for later, but yeah, this is, let me pull it up here.
It gracefully caught my attention, and I was like, huh, this is a fun title. I can't imagine what could have possibly went down at a Behemoth show in a mosh pit filled with a bunch of people and a chick. Oh, wait a minute. There's a video.
Yeah, exactly. What Karina is talking about is just this weekend as we speak, July 6th, at the Rock Slide Festival in Denmark during Behemoth. Set. Yeah, they're, and I'm not going to the video just yet, but
you haven't seen it or you're not going to watch it.
But yeah, apparently, a couple.
Because I watched it.
Okay.
And I, you know what? I if I had the balls to do something stupid and crazy like that, I probably would.
I don't know.
Thumbs up. Why not?
What exactly? If no one has heard by now, I don't know what rock you're living under. But apparently, a half naked woman was kneeling in front of a half naked dude, and showing him a really good time for a good 5-10 minutes while he was moshing out, raising his fists, you know, singing along to his favorite Behemoth. So,
I think the article said it was during Behemoth's love song, and there it was, loving the making in the pit.
There was some loving in the pit.
Yeah.
Part of me, there's that part of me that just goes, dude, high five.
I don't even know, like, what kind of, I don't know. That is some bizarre shit. Like, you have to be balls to the wall brave to fucking just get down in the pit. Like, and if you notice, if you guys watch the video, you'll notice that there's nobody actually moshing in this fucking mosh pit.
Well, no, they're sitting watching this. Like, what the fuck?
They are. And it's huge. This mosh pit is huge. So it's not like these people can't be missed. Literally, it is opened up for them and the whole world to see. So good job. Good on you, folks.
You go, guys. Like keep that shit like that definitely keeps the home fires burning.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I hope that's the only thing that's burning after that, because that was... wild.
And this isn't the first time that we've talked about stuff like this on the show. I remember, what was it, just last year, the year before, a couple getting naked, well, getting down and dirty in the front row at a Machine Head show.
Oh, no, this takes the cake, dude. Have you ever been to a festival or a show and seen shit like that ever in your life?
No. And there's some, like, I go to these independent festivals, these outdoor festivals and all that. And there might be some of that going on in the nearby tents in the camping area while bands are playing and all that. But no, not right at that moment and all that.
I have never seen anything like that either, but I can tell you, I've seen other shit. So,
oh, no doubt.
I've seen a lot of other shit go down. Good, bad, indifferent. I've seen it. I have never seen that. The only time I've ever seen anything remotely close to that was on a Pantera DVD, and that was fucking it. Like, oh,
I've seen certain movies with a certain theme about music and all that, but No. Even up here in Winnipeg, I remember at a Motley Crue concert, it kind of made the news when a couple was getting it on in the top rows, you know, here in our main NHL hockey barn venue and all that. But that was tame. That was absolutely tame compared to this.
Oh, yeah. It's shit. Beef. What's for dinner, you know? Like, ooh. I don't know. Like, go on them, you know? Good. The guy got some. The girl gave some. They had a great time.
They had a good time. And everyone around them is going to have a story for the rest of their lives.
You know, I wonder how the people who actually filmed it, I wonder if they'll get in trouble for doing that.
Like legally? Like I don't know. Like that's a good question. If I ever have to consult a lawyer, I'm gonna bring that up. Okay, there was this video. There was
like, why would you? Like, what are you planning on doing with it?
Yeah, like this. Can you? I don't know. Like, you can't make any money off it. You can't. You can't sell it. But I guess
you can. There's some creepy ass motherfuckers out there.
Oh yeah. Oh, there's probably a demand for it. Yeah, but like you probably. I don't know what the legalities of it. This is my go-to answer. I don't know. I'm just a DJ. Come on.
I mean, you know, hey, next time it happens, you let me know, Snowy, so that way
Okay, it ever happens to me at a show, you'll be the first to know. How does that sound?
I don't want to fucking know if it ever happens to you at a show. Let's not go.
Okay.
Mrs. Snowy will have a lot of fucking questions to ask.
I'm sure
she's going to be like, it wasn't him.
No.
Just fucking kidding.
So what else you got?
Besides that clusterfuck of a news story, nothing really. Like I said, I don't really have much going on for Metal Fix. But that really topped the cake this week, for sure.
Geez, yeah. for sure.
Literally.
For myself, I took in a couple really cool shows. Before I get into any of that, just earlier this afternoon, as we speak, I kind of did my own little rock and roll duty here. What I liken as the CBGBs of Western Canada is a cool little club here in Winnipeg called the Royal Albert. You've heard me talk about it many times over the years on this show. It shut down. Okay, it is now back up. But, you know, there's kind of a controversy here amongst the hardcore and the punk and the metal scene around here, because the new booker of the Albert doesn't seem to want to do any of the heavy stuff. And this is the bread and butter of this show, of this club, is hardcore punk metal and all that. And apparently all of the shows, since the reopening, they've all been tanking. Like every show, there's more band members than patrons at all these hipster alt rock type shows that they're booking and all that, because no one cares. Like everyone knows the Albert as, like I said, the CBGBs of Western Canada. One of the reasons that I think people are put off is the sound has been absolutely wretched, apparently. Like, I haven't seen it. I won't be able to hear it, because earlier this afternoon, I went down there and gave my buddy Mark, who is the sound man at the Park Theater. Well, he's renting out his own personal equipment, the old equipment. Remember those times I was telling you all about the zoo?
Yeah.
Their sound system in that legendary club, Mark, my buddy Mark, he owned that stuff. He's renting it out to the Albert. And this stuff, he's got his shit locked down. This stuff sounds great. The Albert is going to be rocking once again, provided they, you know, they start bringing in all the right bands.
Right.
Okay, well, Mark was going to need a hand moving all this heavy equipment in, and you know what I do with Ninja Cat and all that, and I'm like, okay, you know what, I'm not busy until Sunday night doing this. Why don't I come down and give you a hand?
Me.
What's that?
Doing this.
Yeah, yeah, like, I'm not doing anything Saturday afternoon, I'm doing something Sunday evening, which is this. So,
yeah, you make it sound like it's a task. Like,
oh,
it's a
no, sorry.
This.
No, this was like, an absolute.
Well, damn.
This is an absolute. Well, hey, I got Creed on the show with me again. I'm so excited.
I'll
do it. No. No. My point is, I had the time today earlier to go down, and I did my rock and roll duty and helped set up, move the equipment in, and did all that I could. Ducky and my good buddy Ninja Cat Phil as well. We all came down. We did our part. So everyone listening, the next time you are in the Albert and you're saying, "Man, that's some great sound there," well, you're welcome. A couple really cool shows as well. I kicked off my weekend with a house show, Unspeakable Acts Recording Act, Solenum was headlining. A really cool house show. I fucking love those. Basement Show, another one of my favorite bands. Your Mom was supporting. I love them as well. And it's just these, and I'm not going to talk too much about house shows right now, okay? Not going to say why.
Okay.
Not going to say why. Right. Not going to talk about it too much. Let's just say a good time was had by all. Solenum, I don't care if they're from Winnipeg, they're Canadian, or whatever. They're just one of my favorite bands outright. As well, another really cool show I took in, and we're going to be getting into it a little bit more with tonight's creature feature, but Centuries of Decay came through town. They did their headlining across the country, and if that name sounds familiar to anyone, before we get into the meat and potatoes of it, they were the winners of the 2018 Vakin Metal Battle Canada tournament or competition.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So they won that, and then they grabbed their guitars and they got their asses to Vakin and they fucking killed it there. So they came through town, put on a great set. I had a chance to sit down with vocalist and guitarist Devin Doucette. Excellent stuff. And finally, let's get on with a little bit of music. Some really cool records came across my desk. Two albums available now. First, Immortal Bird. I fucking love this band. A really, really cool grinding thrash band. Their new record, Thrive on Neglect, came across my desk, and I was cranking that fucker. I'm going to get to that in a bit as well. Another band that I really dig, a Swedish hardcore crust band, Victims. I go back with this. I discovered Victims when I was doing the Warren Music Shop, actually. Was getting a lot of their records, I was selling them. We're getting a lot of them on the shelves. This band caught my attention, and I found myself cranking their shit a lot. So without further ado, let's get into some cool tunes from the new Victims record, available now, courtesy of Relapse Record. Let's go with the title track. This is Horse and Sparrow Theory. We'll be right back. This band came to our attention a little while ago with their indie stuff, but Thrive on Neglect is Immortal Birds' debut with 20 Buck Spin. That is definitely a label that has an ear for talent. That is Anger Breeds Contempt. Both that and the Victims record are available now. Highly recommended. Highly recommended. I was cranking both of them this week. Go and check those out. While you're checking those out, I want you to check out this week's creature feature. Now, normally we kind of save our creature features for a more established act. And what we mean by that is a band kind of signed to a reputable label, a bigger label, shall we say, a prosthetic, a Nuclear Blast, whatever, you know, just a signed band. Or even if they're not signed, but perhaps, you know, they're not with any label right now, but they're kind of a legendary band. We've had those bands on as well. Every once in a while, though, an unsigned band, shall we say, kind of catches our attention and we feel the need, okay, yeah, maybe this band is more geared towards our indie spotlight, but when they do something that warrants extra attention, I think that we should give it to them, which brings us to Canada's Centuries of Decay, as we mentioned earlier. Here's the band that won the Vakken Metal Battle Canada and then went on to crush it at Vakken. And when a band does something like that, like, you know, it's time. Let's do something a little extra and move them up to our creature feature segment, which they really deserve, because not only did they have that milestone, that highlight of their career so far, they are a killer band that put on a killer set when they came through town earlier this week. So without further ado, we are going to get into some Centuries of Decay. Let's go with the first single off of their self-titled release called Wings of Death, right before our chat with Centuries of Decay vocalist and axeman Devin Doucette. We'll be right back.
First and foremost, we're kind of getting you in. We'll kind of get you to give a little bio just for our listeners who might have just been hearing about you for the first time. If I can just get you.
Sure.
Yeah, just who you are, what you do, the name of the band, your mother's maiden name, whatever it is you think our listeners would need to know in order to get this off and running.
Sure. So, we're Centuries of Decay. We're from Toronto, Ontario. We formed around 2013. My brother and I'm the vocalist and guitarist. My brother is the drummer. We're from Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island originally.
Oh, wow.
And we ended up moving up here for work, various reasons, but also for music. Just in Charlottetown, it's not much of a metal scene, so at least within arm's reach of us, Toronto for work and metal just seemed like a really good choice.
Right on. And what's your musical vibe? What do you guys do?
That's always the hardest part, is trying to put a label on your band, because then if you label it wrong, people get all weirded out. So I would say we're pretty much a progressive metal band. Kind of like if we stuck Enslaved, crossed with Meshuggah, crossed with Gojira, maybe a little Opeth.
Oh, okay.
Kind of in that vibe.
Right on. Well, that's... can't go wrong with that.
No, it's good. We like the rhythmic stuff. We love the really progressive, chordy music. A little black metal doused in as well.
Right on. Excellent. Kind of a musical stew. I like that.
Yeah.
Probably the majority of the people might be going, like, where have I heard that name? You guys are actually the 2018 Vakken Metal Battle winners, and you went to Vakken, so that's probably where they would probably have heard of you the most. Maybe kind of explain that whole process about getting on and ultimately winning.
Yeah. The Vakken Metal Battle is a big Canada-wide competition, and it's a really great chance for just bands, local bands, who maybe just play small bars, actually end up getting a built-in audience, learning how to set up in a timely manner, tear down, and really work on your stage presence. A lot of the competition is really based about just stage structure and sound. And this year, we ended up playing against Hammerdorf from Calgary, and they were just a phenomenal band. It's really great because it gives a chance to like see all these really great, hardworking bands from all over Canada just coalesce, and just meeting new bands has been like really rewarding for us. And we just worked really hard on our set, on our stage presence as much as we could, and we ended up getting to go over to Germany, which was just the most surreal experience ever. It was my first time ever being at Vakken, period. It was just,
wow.
I mean, you have to be there. I can't describe how big it is.
For sure.
Yeah.
No doubt. That was going to kind of bring me to my next question, the whole experience and all that. That must have been just absolutely amazing. Were you the first one on that day? Were you the first band on, the second band on, the third band?
I don't know. There was a lot of bands. It was like 2 days of just straight battles, so there were just tons of bands. During Vakken, they ended up changing the set to just 20 minutes from 25. So they were really trying to get bands going, and they had two stages going where they would alternate which bands were playing.
Right.
But we must have been like maybe 9th or 10th, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
A lot of them, but a full day and a packed tent, yeah.
Right. Can we actually maybe just step yeah. outside?
That was good, I heard something.
Yeah, I'm just gonna let this play.
Right here
is cool. We just have to shut the door because of the...
Sure.
Yeah, well, we will have to go around. So. Sorry.
That's all good.
Sorry about this, but it's the trials and tribulations. Mm-hmm. Just don't start raining on me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What about being a viewer at Vakken? You must have seen a lot of your favorite bands.
Yeah, yes. as a spectator at Vakken, it was... it's just like the largest concert experience. I don't think I've seen so many people in one, like, literal area.
Right.
I remember seeing Judas Priest headline one night, and standing there, I'm comfortable. It's not, like, crowded. You're comfy, and there's people around you, and you're like, I wonder how many people are actually around me. I'm not very tall. I'm pretty, you know.
Right.
So I ended up going on my tippy toes and looking behind me, and it's quite literally just endless people. There's literally 75,000 people in the audience, and they're all sharing that same experience. So,
Wow. Okay, sorry. Okay. I guess I'm going to have to do a bit of editing after all, but that's okay. With this and comes the exposure and all that, you know, the Vakken Metal Battle winner and all that, must have upped the notoriety for the band.
Yeah, definitely we have much more reach now with a lot of fans, especially with this tour that we're doing right now. We're able to get onto a couple of like really great West Coast festivals right now. We're gonna be playing the Armstrong Festival in BC next week, and in a couple more days on Friday we're playing the Decimate Festival in Calgary. So
nice.
Yeah, it's been really great. It's not only at Armstrong are we playing it, but we're actually opening for the headliner band that night, which is Necrogoblicon, which is going to be that's pretty wild. We just asked to be on it, and we were told like a afternoon time slot, and then suddenly it's like, nope, we're opening for the headliners. So yeah, we're really excited.
Excellent.
It's been great.
Excellent. What about label interest? Had any A&R come sniffing around so far?
You know, not yet. It's very different now with a lot of the music scene and labels. Our album is almost entirely self-produced. We have three engineers in our band. Label interests, I think it could be. If we get the right label and they're able to help us do what we want to do, then for sure. But yeah, at the moment, still independent.
Okay, yeah, that was actually going to be my next question. Yeah, in the event a label was to come sniffing a prosthetic, a relapse or something.
We would definitely talk.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right on,
that would be great.
Just kind of on a personal level, and we kind of touched on it just a couple minutes ago, but which artist made you want to do this? You heard them play, man, I got to do that.
Yeah, well, being from Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, we don't get a lot of metal acts at all.
Mm-hmm.
Big metal acts go anywhere near the East Coast. I think the first big band I saw in college was Slayer that ended up playing the Moncton,
okay.
Which was pretty wild. But I mean, coming to Toronto, I'm privileged enough to get to see all of my heroes. I'm a really big fan of Enslaved, really big fan of Opeth, really big fan of Gojira. I touched upon a little bit of that too.
Right.
Got to see Devin Townsend. Like, all these bands are just phenomenal. Seeing a really good big band play an incredibly super tight set is just so awe-inspiring. So much respect for that. And all these bands are incredible live. They're so good.
Right on. Well, speaking of really cool bands, and we'll kind of wrap it up with this, the band that we just spoke to with the episode before this one was none other than Anvil.
Oh, yes.
The mighty Anvil. So it's a tough act to follow, but I'm sure we'll do great. With that, though, it makes me kind of think, because it was also our Canada Day episode. Being a Canadian band, what would you say in your own mind some of the pluses and some of the negatives from hailing from Canada?
One of the negatives, if you want to tour your own country, is it's so damn big. It's everything is just very far apart.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that can be a hindrance, especially for bands that want to get around. There's a lot of really talented bands all over Canada, but it's very challenging for them to kind of meet up without dumping a whole ton of money. I think that's the hardest part. I mean, the plus side, I mean, we've got some, like, really incredible talent. Like, you were mentioning Anvil, super, super great band. I mean, Devin Townsend's pretty much a national treasure right now.
We've had him on.
Yeah. So, there's a lot of really incredible talent out there. I guess that would be the plus. They're great. Yeah. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah. We're actually, the Juno Awards are more and more accepting of metal these days. So hopefully, horns crossed, we can see Centuries up there. But in the meantime, in the next year or so, what's going on with the band?
Once we wrap up the tour, we're going into writing mode pretty much. We've got a couple of new songs already pretty much. They're getting close to being finished, and we're hoping to try to get an album together sometime next year. But yeah, so that's what we're going to be doing right after tour. Album.
Stay busy. Stay busy.
Absolutely.
If you're not tuned in to The Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Hey guys, it's the Stallion. And when I'm contemplating suicide, I throw on The Shining Wizards because nothing makes me feel better than knowing I'm not one of these four grown adults, virgin fucking marks, discussing a fake wrestling product.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantemradio.com. It's The Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Hi, I'm Liberace. For all my friends in Canada, KTEL has put together this exciting album of some of my favorite performances.
Liberace in Concert, a classic collector's album.
You'll hear everything from Boogie Woogie. Or maybe you'd like to sing along on this one. Are you singing? You might even hear classics like Chopin's Nocturne, the beautiful theme from Godfather, and one of my favorites, the Piano Roll Blues.
Get Liberace in Concert, 20 of his greatest performances, $5.99, tape $6.99.
I hope you'll get my album from KTEL. I think it'll give you a lot of pleasure. It really is my favorite.
When you get a chance, be sure to check out the 2018 Wacken Metal Battle winners, Centuries of Decay. I love that story. Every time I turn on the news and all that, we're going to get to some bummed out news here right away. It's the feel good stories that I enjoy. You know, as opposed to the mud raking and all the crap that unfortunately metal and hardcore and punk just is not, you know, we don't have a Teflon coating. We're susceptible to all the bullshit as it is. So when a feel-good story is like what Centuries of Decay accomplished and all that, we always like to make sure that we give them the proper credit, the proper shout out, and I think we did it the right way with this. And here's to hoping that, you know, a reputable label, you know, like Relapse, shall we say, picks them up and says, hey, this is a great fucking band, let's do something with them. So horns crossed. Speaking of Relapse Records, shall we say, They unfortunately made the news for kind of a crappy reason when they ended up having to drop the band, and I believe it's pronounced Towcross, from their roster, particularly since they had a forthcoming record, Messengers of Deception, which was going to be available August 9th. Now, if that name, Towcross, kind of, you know, rings a bell, it'll probably be most likely someone will know them from, as it was, Away, no stranger to this show, Away from Voivod, that was kind of his project, his side project, along with, most notably, one Rob Miller from Amabix. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. There's another band, you know, I've been looking at their names for so many years, I've never actually heard it pronounced and all that, so I kind of have my own idea of how it's pronounced. Well, anyways, Towcross have been dropped from Relapse, and the whole record has been scrapped because of the accusation that frontman, the aforementioned Rob Miller, was taking a lyrical inspiration from a noted Holocaust denier.
I'm not even going to use his name. I'm not going to use his name. I don't want to use it. I don't care. Okay, well, Relapse kind of took this as, and, you know, and particularly in this day and age, okay, it's like we don't really want to be associated with anything from them. And they dropped the band, and they scrapped the whole record and all that. And that seems to be kind of what's making the metal news this week. And I admit it, like, I kind of get it. I kind of get why they would do that, why they would do that. Now, Towcross in general is now up, you know, it's kind of up in the air is exactly what's going to be happening, because apparently, like, this was Miller's, he's the Chuck Schulender of this band, shall we say. And he's basically, throughout all of this, once all the smoke from all this cleared, he ended up saying that he has since fired Mr. Away, okay, and one other member, and it's probably just a matter of time before that fourth guy says, you know what, fuck this, I can't handle this myself. But apparently, some way, shape, or form, Towcross is going to continue with Miller at the head. And now it's kind of making me think, okay, well, I have to agree with Relapse. I don't think that I would want to be associated with anything like to do with like a Holocaust denier. You know, what say you with this?
Well, okay. I'm trying to have an unbiased opinion about this. Mm-hmm. I took up studies on World War II and the Holocaust, so I am very well aware that the Holocaust is very much a real deal.
It's a real thing, it yeah.
If you deny it, I can't help you. You are just a lost cause, because for you to deny something of that magnitude is shameful. Mm-hmm. Now, I carefully looked at the article that I read, and there's a couple points I want to make out, and, you know, this is strictly my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most of you understand that as writers, song lyricists, whatever you want to call yourselves, music, I don't care, call yourself whatever it is, you understand that if you are taking inspiration from somebody, you either take the inspiration or you borrow the ideas. You have two ways of looking at it. You could A, credit the person whom you got the ideas from. Doesn't necessarily mean you agree with them. It just means that you're avoiding plagiarism, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I see most references is anyway. If you're crediting somebody something, you're giving credit because they let you have the idea. They gave you the idea. You're borrowing their idea, but you have to credit it. Otherwise, it's known as plagiarism. Mm-hmm. Or you can flat out call it your own, and which I've known many artists, like, not personally, but, you know, I've read many artists who do that, and they don't give credit where credit is due, and then it ends up becoming a huge lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
So my thinking is if you're going to borrow the ideas, because it did say in the article that he gave let's see here. Sorry, I want to make sure I have everything.
Of course.
Correct before I. So. Okay. So in Germany, it is, I believe it's a felony to deny the Holocaust.
Yeah, I should hope so.
It's a felony. And I'm looking at this guy's name here, and I'm pretty sure he was from Germany. So I don't know if he's still alive or if he wrote a book. I don't really know much about him, mm-hmm. except for a little synopsis I just had.
Mm-hmm.
But it said that he specifically, the band, specifically credited this person in the liner notes for inspiring Rob Miller.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't say that he believes what this guy is saying, and it doesn't necessarily state that what he was inspired by was correct. It just says that he gave credit as inspiration for being inspired. Now, is it wrong? I don't know, because like most of you who are just finding this out, I don't have the lyrics in front of me to actually see what it says.
Right.
You know, you could go based off of a business perspective, and you could say, okay, well, yeah, well, you know, it looks bad for business, which it does. Mm-hmm. But you have to understand that music is symbolic.
It is.
Things have to be read between the lines. And sometimes you get a band who does a song, and I'll give you a great example, Slayer, Angel of Death.
Mm-hmm. That's, I was going to bring that up, yeah.
Yeah. So you have something in that situation, but they're not denying the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, you've got somebody who is actively giving credit to a Holocaust denier. But unfortunately for everybody who really enjoyed this band or even just like now hates them because of this article, read the lyrics first, if you can, if you have a way of finding them, and form your own opinion. Currently, until I see the lyrics, I really can't say whether this is bad or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know.
Perspective.
Right.
Or context, I should say.
Right, it's not fair for me to sit here and read one article without having it. They don't even give the lyrics, so
mm-hmm.
what exactly are they talking about, you know?
Right. I think with Relapse, what their point is they cannot since they were this individual in their liner notes said, you know, gave them credit for inspiration, like they're not comfortable enough, you know, like it's they took it as Mr. Miller was given this asshat a pat on the back, you know, and a high five and all that, and that was the way Relapse took it. And I can definitely understand their point, yeah.
But it doesn't make sense, because it, from what the stated, it says that the records go through vigorous proofing processes, checking for spelling and punctuation mistakes mostly. So obviously, if they're going through and you know, for spelling and punctuation mistakes, they clearly read the lyrics, they clearly knew what was happening, and they didn't care. The only time that they cared was when somebody brought it to their attention.
Yeah,
that
as to who idea. This guy was. Right.
Yeah.
Right. They just didn't know it.
Mm-hmm. Now, in America, I'm not sure, where's this band from?
They are American, except for Away, who is, yay, Canadian.
Well, it's not illegal, and this is just, I'm just going based off of laws here. It's not illegal to deny the Holocaust here in America. It's
right?
Not.
Yeah, you but, have every right to be an ass, and you have every right to be wrong. You have every right to be a fucking redneck.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's all about the moral of it. But you know, I want to point something out here. Until we see the lyrics, there's really no way to juxtapose them,
mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, a side by side comparison. There's no way to actually juxtapose those with past lyrics of bands who have sung about the Holocaust. And great example, Angel of Death. I mean, it, right here, it says the first freaking few lines. Auschwitz, the meaning of pain, the way that I want you to die, slow death, immense decay, showers that cleanse you of your life. Okay, so if that's okay to pass, why are we cutting throwing stones at this? But again, I don't know. I don't have the lyrics, so I can't really say. And it's unfortunate, you know. It's like they already had the process, they already put it out, they've already, I believe that's what they did, they already released the record.
It's available in August, just about ready to go, and then they said, whoa, no, we don't want to be
associated with that, and they just gave Miller the master and the back catalog and said, here, take your ball and go home, basically.
And let's see here, I don't know about you, but this magazine company, I think it was, yeah, magazine, German magazine called Ox.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what they're about. Hold on, sorry.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. One of the things that really made me go really was the fact that he was in Amebix and all that, and like, this is a band that, you know, I don't know them that well, but they just don't strike me, or they strike me as like more of a left wing band. You know, like they kind of fall into the whole crust punk scene and all that. And well, to find out, like, this guy, I guess, here, like, Amebix, I don't think has been a thing for many years now. And ideals change, you know, people change as they get older. Or Mr. Miller is just fucking with people. You know what I mean? He just kind of snuck this in the credits to see who actually is going to pay attention to it, and you know, kind of like a late April Fool's Day joke, perhaps. Because that's it's weird. It's weird. Why would you be in a band with a member of Voivod and have these fucking basically these Nazi beliefs? It's just it blows my mind.
That's not okay, Snowy. I'm gonna have to actually disagree with you on this. I hear what you have to say, but I disagree with you on that statement, because we don't know what beliefs, we don't even know what the lyrics say. Mm-hmm. So you can't really condemn him. You can't really condemn them until you see it.
No, you're right. You're right, but I'm kind of taking it from the perspective of Relapse and from his band members, because his band members have also said, hey, what the fuck, man?
But like, that doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't. I'm shaking my head at this whole thing. Like, what the... Really? Like, I thought he was in, like, a band that was against all this shit.
Well, the content doesn't make any damn sense, because like it's said in there, they had to do a vetting process. So there was no way in hell that somebody didn't know what was going on. And when you write music, sometimes the bands share their lyrics with each other. I could imagine that you have to at least share some of it, because how else are you supposed to be able to write and fix and compose? If you don't know what the fuck the lyrics are.
I think that this band, like I said, was like Miller is like what Chuck Schuldiner was to Death. Death, he like Chuck wrote everything and all that, and the other guys were basically, you know, hired hands, for the lack of a better term, and all that. I think maybe that's the case here, and a lot of times when the vocalist or whatever is doing all the lyric writing, you know, a lot of times band members will just be, yeah, okay, whatever, and then just put their faith in the vocalist because they're focusing on their instrument and their part of the band.
Well, do you think it's safe to say, in as an opinion, that this band could have possibly... The vocalist. Okay, so here's what I wanted to add before I state that statement. The guy mentioned who was given credit for, who was being credited with this, wrote two books.
Okay.
Again, my opinion, referencing him for the inspiration without referencing the books, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could come up with conspiracy theories saying, oh, that guy has the same name as another guy who just happens to be, you know, you could come up with all kinds of crazy shit, because, you know, but my thing too is if the label if the label's looking through all these names, they don't cross-check them. Imagine how many bands out there who've already produced a record on their label have done something like that.
Have already done something like that. Yeah. Oh, especially if it's independent. Yeah. Yeah. Well.
I mean, let's see here. Relapse. Where's Relapse located? Here in America,
Philly,
right?
Philly. Yep.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I just want to know what the freaking lyrics say so I can form a better opinion. I know, I really do, but at the same time, like you have to have an open mind, and you can't just be like, oh, fuck that guy, I'm gonna send him death threats, blah, 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 blah. You know, you can't, no, make sure you actually read what it fucking says first.
You don't want another angel of death. Now I'm thinking, if Relapse have went and like dropped the band, said like I said, take your ball and go home and all that, like they've maybe done the research, they've looked at the lyrics, and now in this new perspective with this new information come to light, because they said they're just not comfortable working or selling with something that dabbles in these ideologies and all that. So it's like, yeah, they may have actually gone into the lyrics. But I know exactly what you're saying. Like, I remember with Angel of Death, someone took it the wrong way, and before you know it, there's a group of people at Tom Araya's, no, it was Rick Rubin's door, the producer, with baseball bats. It's a good thing Rubin wasn't home that night, or he might not be with us today. And I, not once, and I was just a dumb teenager when Rain and Blood came out, I listened to that song once, and I didn't see it as a, as a pro-Nazi, pro-Holocaust. I took it as an anti, more than anything, and all that. So,
and that's another thing too, like you read the, like with Angel of Death, you just read the lyrics and it talks about the atrocities, I hope I'm saying that right, the atrocities that happened during Auschwitz. Mm-hmm. And it's not giving praise, and that's why I want to see what these lyrics say. It's not about, they're not giving praise to anything, they're just simply talking about it. Literally, it's literally depicting visual in me, because when I read it, I can visually see it. So it visualizes and it puts you in a place like, damn, that's what they fucking went through. It's not saying that Joseph Joseph, it's Josef,
yeah, Mengelen or whatever the fuck his name is,
that guy.
Joseph Scumbag.
Yeah, he was the physician known as the Angel of Death, and that's where that song's about. But it's not glorifying. It's not glorifying him. It's just it's raising awareness to what happened, and what he did. It was pretty brutal. But again, you got to see the lyrics. You have to see the lyrics and then form your opinion. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all know major bands, we can point out, like, Phil Anselmo has said some really fucked up racist shit. Hey, we fucking know that. He took a huge fucking punch for it. Whether he learned his lesson or not, I don't fucking know. But, right. I mean.
Right. Yeah, and Lemmy himself, who was a collector of World War II memorabilia, some people have called him on that, saying like, why are you collecting this Nazi stuff and all that? And he's like, fuck off. I'm collecting stuff. I'm not pro-Nazi. I'm not a Holocaust denier or anything. I'm just collecting stuff from an era and all that.
Right.
So, some people have taken him to task. So basically, what you're looking for is, you're looking to, You want a little more information.
I do. And, There's nothing wrong with that. I just wanna know, because if you have no proof against it, did it really happen? You know.
Mm-hmm.
But and I'm not. I mean, again, I'm not a lawyer or a law student or anything. But I you gotta put yourself in that mindset when it comes to things like this. The media will tear your ass apart.
Mm-hmm.
And they will make you look real fucking bad. And if you are not somebody who's aware of what's going on and you don't fucking find out for yourself, well, you could end up being really stupid and looking really dumb in the long run. So let's try to avoid that and just see what's happening. And then when that happens, then we can, you know, say, yeah, that guy is definitely denying the Holocaust or some crazy stupid shit like that.
Well, let me kind of wrap this segment up by saying what I want to do is I want to wrap Mr. Miller up with Wonder Woman's Golden Lariat. We'll get the truth out of him that way, shall we say. As a matter of fact, this would actually make a pretty good discussion for a future episode. Let's wrap some more people up with Wonder Woman's Golden Lariat and get to the truth about some things, you know, that are still kind of up in the air. I think that would be a good idea. But let's maybe continue on with tonight's Indie Spotlight.
We're always on the lookout for fresh new talent. Check out this Indie Spotlight.
Okay, you know what, dear? It just hit me. Voivod is going to be... They're crossing Canada with Revocation in September. And we've had Mr. Way on the show before, and he's a really cool, approachable guy. I know, I think I should get his thoughts and opinions on this. See what's going on in his head. If he wants to, you know,
why not ask him, right?
He just might want to just say, you know what, Snow, I don't want to talk about it. Let's just have a beer, okay? And I would definitely do that. Bless you.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Speaking of good Canadian boys, and I hope everyone enjoyed last week's episode, which was basically a nod to all things Canadian metal with our kick-ass Anvil interview and all of that great Canadian music. Hopefully we will one day be mentioning Halifax's Electric Mistress in amongst all of those cool bands. Their debut is available right now. Let's drop a track from them, Electric Mistress. If you're, I don't know, I guess very, very heavily influenced from, you can hear some Deep Purple, you can hear some Pink Floyd, and if you're more modern day stuff, let's see if you like your, what's that, Queen of the Stone Age, Caius, Clutch, those type of bands, I think you will get into Electric Mistress. So let's go with, how about Meeting of the Minds, this week's Indie Spotlight, Electric Mistress. We'll be right back. Right on. Excellent stuff. Excellent stuff. I love it when, you know, the younger bands kind of pick up some of the influences from the generation before them. That is Electric Mistress. Electric with a K. Electric. Electric Mistress at electricmistress.com and facebook.com/electricmistress. Their self-titled record available now. Run, don't walk. Check it out. Check it out. Some really good stuff. Really good stuff. Well, my friend, how's everything going? You're still, you haven't tired of me yet?
I'm still here.
Okay. Right on. What do we want to go out? You know what? Have you heard the new Amon Amarth Berserker yet?
No, I haven't.
No, okay. Well, you know what? Just for Kareen, we will drop the first single, Raven's Flight, before we get on. Yeah, before we get on.
No, I've heard Raven's Flight. I've heard the Raven's Flight.
Oh, okay. Well.
Oh, you're talking about the album name is Berserker. I'm thinking you're talking about. Oh, okay. Oh, Raven's Flight. Yes, I've heard of the song Raven's Flight. Sorry.
Yeah, that was the first single off of the Berserker album and all that. And before we get on out of here, I'm going to go and pour another fine cup of True Kvalt coffee. TRVEKVLT once again. Congratulations to the good folks at True Kvalt Coffee for expanding the brood, shall we say. Congratulations. And once again, True Kvalt Coffee. Go and check it out, truekvaltcoffee.com. A very metal product for metalheads made by metal fans. And as well, if you are listening to this for the first time Friday morning on podcast, remember that Radioactive Metal is available, first of all, when all the cool kids hear it the first time, Thursday late afternoon on Pure Rock Radio, pureRockRadio.net. Not only check Radioactive Metal out there, but they have all sorts of kick-ass tunes and kick-ass shows. And of course, Radioactive Metal is a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Check us out. They are not only Radioactive Metal, but there is a whole cavalcade of really cool podcasts. It's predominantly a pro wrestling network, but there's also pop culture, lifestyles, all sorts of really cool stuff. Go and check them out. And once again, wherever you listen to your podcast, whatever podcast aggregator that you use, we always would like you to take a couple minutes out, go to wherever you find the review section, give Radioactive Metal a review, 5 stars, and every little bit helps. Whenever you give a positive review, it kind of gives us a little more visibility on that platform. And of course, Radioactive Metal, you can get a hold of us on Facebook, RadMetal666 on the Instagram as well. And I've been putting this out for the past little while, if you so would like to. I am an old school rocker at heart, and one of the things I remember way back in the day was the old pen bangers section in the old Metal Forces and the whole pen pal section in Metal Maniac. So if you feel so up to it and would like to maybe kickstart, you know, another tradition long past, I would love to get some snail mail from you. Contact me on Facebook through the Radioactive Metal Facebook. I will set you up with my snail mail address, and let's kick her old school. So I would love to get in on that. It's just like, and bands you know, the MP3s that you send, the stuff that you, excuse me, that your PR sends, all of that is great. I wouldn't mind an old-fashioned demo tape on cassette in the mail. So, yeah, that would be really cool as well. So, yeah, let's get on out of here with a track from the latest Amon Amarth. Once again, Crane, thank you so much for joining us and gracing us with your presence. It's really appreciated. In the meantime and in between time, that's it. This has been a DK, no, not Donkey Kong, not Dead Kennedys, episode of Radioactive Metal. I'm Snowy White.
I'm Corrine.
Signing off.
Also listen to us on Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, Google Play, and all other podcast aggregators. You can purchase the music featured in this episode by going to RadioactiveMetal.org and clicking on the episode link. Leave us a voicemail. We want to hear from you. Call 321-80-HEAVY or 321-804-3289. We may even play it on the show. Email us at radmetal666@gmail.com with suggestions or for indie spotlight submissions. Follow us at facebook.com/radmetal, twitter.com/radmetal666, and instagram.com/radioactivemetal. This has been a presentation of Radioactive Metal. It's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.